The Set soldiers, spotting Marcy's group, immediately organized in the tunnel, using the natural curve as cover. Fortunately, this bought Marcy and her team a few precious moments. The enemy didn't know what they were facing, and so took up a defensive posture. Marcy ushered the former captives back toward the room, though the flimsy drywall would offer a little protection against gunfire. Twin Soul, however, knelt and put both hands on the ground.
Moonlight, I'll need extra fuel. Water will not be enough for this.
She swiftly dug out one of the glowing jars and tossed it to him. A line of crystal grew from him and around the jar, opening the top. His crystals began to grow faster. In moments, he'd created a chest-high wall of rosite in front of them. Gunfire rang out from the other end of the tunnel, making the former captives crowd back into the room. Rifle in hand, Marcy threw herself against Twin Soul's improvised fortification next to Moonlight. She risked a glance over the rosite mound. He'd made this one opaque, perhaps to give the enemy less information. She ducked back down as a bullet blasted a few chips off the front of the fortification. Twin Soul clearly had to concentrate to keep this larger barrier up. He had settled down with his legs crossed and his hands in fists, knuckles pressed together in front of him, his head bowed. The crystal stone had grown up over his arms in an odd way. Marcy turned to Moonlight.
Can you make a door in the ground? There might be tunnels beneath us.
Even if they were, the thickness of the stone would be far too great for my stamp.
I believe, my Lady Marcy, that you should allow me to take the people we freed and hasten them to the exit. It seems these soldiers were guarding the shipping bay above. So if I can push through them, I can get the civilians to safety.
That would be good. Marcy and I can escape farther into the tunnel complex, and the enemy might be so focused on you and your escape that they don't notice us.
I can't allow that. Twin Soul, there are at least 24 soldiers over there. You can't manage them on your own. No offense, but you can barely walk down a corridor without support.
No offense taken.
The rosite continued to grow up, and for some reason, around him.
But in return, no offense, my lady, but you might perhaps be underestimating Silajana.
The rosite completely encased him, forming a transparent boulder around him. His head bowed, with formal sash in place, he was still fully visible in his cross-legged posture through the rose-colored stone. Marcy frowned as it continued to expand rapidly. The size and speed of this creation seemed to need the help of the glowing substance from the jar, which was being drained as the rosite grew. Bulges formed at the sides of the boulder, like smaller boulders, only longer. Then, two more formed on the bottom rear of the boulder. Marcy cocked her head, her back to the fortification mound, rifle across her knees. Actually, with the smaller boulder forming on the top, it had almost taken on the shape of a thick stone fingers formed on the ends of the two protrusions at the sides. Then massive rosite arms spread out, stone grinding against the stone ground as the lower parts formed knees and feet. Twin Soul at the center, the thing heaved itself up, a 12-foot-tall stone behemoth. The crystal didn't bend, but had formed joints like armor. A man made of rock, like some mythological creature, with a head on the top, broad shoulders, and trunk-like legs. Twin Soul sat at its heart, legs crossed, fists pressed together in front of him. But his head rose and his eyes snapped open, glowing softly as his creation ripped free of the lines of rosite connecting it to the ground. The fortification started to disintegrate right away, but the soldier's attention was totally focused on the stone monstrosity that advanced, its head scraping the top of the tunnel. Twin Soul barely seemed to mind. He stepped in front of Marcy and moved his construct's hands in front of him, growing something out of them.
Behold, by the grace of Silajana, Suna, Vishwadar, and the 12 primal aethers, I am Sanvit Prasanva Mahaik Vasila, Grand Aetherbound of the 12 Kingdoms, Raj of the Coriander Court, and these people are under my protection.
A colossal mace finished forming from rosite in his stone fingers, with a huge bulb at one end like that of a tulip. He let it thump to the rock beneath him, shaking the ground. Some soldiers continued to fire, others up and ran, Chips blasted off the construct, but the holes filled in immediately. The jar of pure investiture, still half full, had been overgrown by the rosite and was near the rear of the large stone figure, its glow illuminating Twinsoul from behind.
Silajana demands that I warn you. You have been given this rebirth to bless, encourage, and uplift those around you. By your actions here, you prove this gift wasted. If you are destroyed today by resisting my defense of these innocents, you reject your great blessing and may not be given rebirth again for many, many centuries. Lay down your weapons and let us pass, or suffer my wrath.
He certainly had a way with words. Moonlight grabbed Marcy by the shoulder, gesturing for them to retreat past the building with the hiding civilians. For the moment, however, Marcy remained rooted, amazed by the sight of Twinsoul's construct raising the mace.
It appears that my offer has been rejected. In turn, your offer of conflict is accepted. Prepare yourselves.
With that, he charged down the corridor. Marcy finally allowed Moonlight to pull her back. In the flimsy structure, they told the captives to arm themselves, then follow Twinsoul to the way out. Then Marcy and Moonlight exited and hurried down the main corridor, finding a darkened side passage to slip through. Hopefully, this would let them avoid any reinforcements that might come up the main passage.
Will he be able to get them out, do you think?
Using light from one of the two remaining jars, they made their way through the tunnel complex. Marcy spotted a sign pointing toward the community.
Twinsoul is the best chance they have. I think he can manage it. He has the pure investiture. And as long as that holds, he'll be nigh invincible. He can shrink and grow his juggernaut as he needs to get through smaller corridors. If they try to cut the electricity, he can even push the elevator all the way to the top or create a new one from rosite.
Moonlight looked back and smiled.
Don't worry, he'll be fine. And this is exactly what we need. Prasanba is an absolute artist at drawing attention when he sets his mind to it.
You willing to keep going forward?
If there really is a perpendicularity here, then yes. As much as I want to get out with this information, protecting the planet must come first. I'm new to this large-scale sort of thinking. Spent a long time looking out for myself and my own goals. Sorry if I come off terse or too quick to want to retreat.
Marcy nodded, noting some light up ahead. She slipped forward quietly, and Moonlight covered up the jars in her rucksack. Together they approached another tunnel, lit with mining lights. The natural tunnel vanished to the right, but to the left, the stone had a different cast to it. Marcy pointed at the jagged sections of rock on the ceiling and walls.
They blasted here. This is a section they opened up and expanded.
Moonlight pointed to another sign. The community, whatever it was, could be found this way. Marcy held out hope that Gave and the Set weren't quite so zealous as to let Autonomy's armies in. He'd sounded hesitant, at least. Smarmy as the man was, even he realized this was extreme. But he also had seemed worn down, as if he felt he couldn't fight or resist. As they snuck farther along the blasted-out tunnel, Marcy was pulled out of her thoughts. Were those sounds coming from the tunnel behind them? Something following them? Moonlight seemed to hear the sounds too, because she turned and glanced that direction. They shared a look, then hurried forward, hoping to stay ahead of whatever it was.